Welcome to Sisters and Spirits Paranormal Podcast. I'm Veronica.
And I'm Kara, and we're here today to talk about some spooky stuff.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Sisters and Spirits. We're excited today to talk about Amityville, the Amityville horror. And we're not going to go through the entire story the way everyone does, because first of all, we've mentioned it a couple of times before on the podcast. And also, let's be honest, I'm pretty sure you guys all know the story. If not, I'm going to do a quick recap before we get on with the drinking. So basically, there was this house. There was this dude, killed his family. New family moved in. Place was haunted as fuck. That's the short version of it.
That sounds like Ryan Reynolds describing his own like his own movie.
It kind of does, yeah. But
like,
yeah,
Ryan Reynolds in a press conference was like, "What's your movie about?" Well, there's this dude, and he like killed his family, and I come in and I move into the house, and shenanigans ensue.
Yeah. So that's pretty much, you know, what happens. In case anybody is unfamiliar with the names, when we're talking about the DeFeo family, that was the original family with the guy Ronald that murdered his family, and when we talk about the Lutz family, that's the family that moved in and had to deal with the ghosts. So first, as always, we're going to talk about the drinking. I have got this new thing that I did not know existed called Lemon Moscato. It's by,
I want to try that. That sounds so good.
It's by Oliver Wineries. Let's see if I can make this focus. Oh, there it goes.
Is that an Ohio thing, or do you think I could get that down here?
I want to say it's Michigan, but I don't know for sure. I buy it at Kroger.
We don't have Kroger, but there's a lot of Michiganders down here, so you never know. We're starting to get Labatt Blue, so.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it could be other places, but yeah, I do like them. They're no St. Julian's, but they're still pretty good. Like, I still like their stuff, so that's what I'm drinking today. I did not know Lemon Moscato was a thing.
I'm drinking Aldi because I just got off work, and that's what I keep on stash at home. So
more winking owl. I do love the winking owl though.
Short answer of that. Right? It is good wine. Like even like my one wine snob friend she buys it, and I'm like, yeah, it's actually pretty decent.
It actually is good for like
$3 wines. The best. It's not the best, but like to have like, you know, on standby at your house, you know.
It's the best you're gonna get for $3.
It is. It is. I like it better than the Trader Joe's, because the Trader Joe's like gives me a headache. Even if I have like one glass, like I get headaches from that one. So whatever's in that one, I don't know. But right. This one's actually pretty good.
It is. It's the best $3 wine you're going to find anywhere. Oh, and anybody on Patreon who hasn't noticed, my hair is green now.
Oh, yeah. I can kind of see the little greenie in it.
Yeah, you can't tell as much with this camera because my lighting sucks, because quite frankly, I just don't know much about lighting, and I probably wouldn't spend the money to do it right anyway. So for kind of a way to gauge it for those of you on Patreon, the shirt I'm wearing right now is actually black, even though in the camera, it sometimes looks black and sometimes looks blue, depending on how I'm moving around. So yeah, the color of everything is really not all that accurate. Also, my face is not actually the same color as the wall. So there's
I'm
that.
Thinking of dyeing my hair colored, because it's like gonna be the last time I'm gonna be able to do it with the like the jobs I'll be working uphand, like they don't care,
right?
So maybe one last shot of youth
right
before I have to have natural colored hair. Yeah,
all right, anyway, back to the topic at hand. Amityville horror. There's been books, there's been movies, there's been documentaries. Everybody knows about this. Now, the biggest thing that I kind of have an issue with this is so many of these stories are saying it was a demonic presence. And I don't really see how that would be the case. Because if it was, you know, I think the only way that makes any sense at all would be if the Lutz family was 100% making up everything, which I don't believe they were. I do think they possibly were exaggerating some things or all of the things, but I don't think that they're straight up making it up. So it just doesn't make sense because there hasn't been any reports of anything, of any other people fleeing the house like after that. So if it was a demon and it was tied to the location, I feel like there wouldn't be people just living there and not fleeing the scene. And now I do think, you know, if it was something demonic, like if the Lutz family has just made all of this stuff up, then potentially there could have been something demonic involved in the original murders. But that only makes sense if the Lutz family made it up, because the demon, like if we're talking about the demon following Ronald or Butch, as they call him, DeFeo, then the demon would have gone with him and not be in the house anymore. So I really don't see it being demonic.
I have had a lot of skepticism on both sides regarding this. I think it could be demonic. Just in the sense of after Robbie DeFeo committed the murders, because I think bad things attract bad things. And maybe the house was previously haunted, you know, just a normal run-of-the-mill hauntings. I think more houses are haunted than people, like, understand, because most hauntings, let's be honest, are pretty freaking boring.
Yeah, most hauntings are pretty boring. And if you're the kind of person that doesn't believe in hauntings, you're just going to kind of ignore all the stuff that happens.
Even if you are a person who believes in hauntings, if you have a large family and a bunch of kids running around, did the glass shatter in the other room and fall off the counter because a ghost did it, or are one of the kids lying?
Right. Yeah. There's really no way to know. Same thing if you have animals. Like,
yeah,
I'm constantly blaming cats.
Yeah. You can ask your kid, like, hey, were you walking up and down the stairs at night? I heard creaking on the stairs. Like, nope, wasn't me. They're a little shit face liar. So you don't know.
That is true. They do have a tendency to lie. I would have lied about it if I was.
You're also going to ignore it because you're just going to be like, oh, the kid is, you know, going downstairs to get some water or some milk. You're really not going to think twice about noises, especially the DeFeo family did have what. So let's say the house was haunted, but with the DeFeos, just not demonically. And then these tragedies occurred, and then something demonic came in right afterwards. Stayed there for a period of time. The Lutz family happened to catch that period of time. And then, you know, years went by. And then I think there was like a good chunk of time between the Lutz family and whoever moved in after them. Like, something could have just gotten bored and just was like, well, I'm leaving now. And now you just have a regular old run-of-the-mill, boring haunted house.
See, I don't remember, and I don't have the numbers with me right now, but I didn't think it was that long though.
Was it?
I don't think. I could be wrong. Like I said, I didn't write down the numbers, but just from months and months ago when I had done research on this previously, like, I don't know that it really was that long. And I don't know, even if it was, I feel like demons have a tendency to follow people. That's so true. I feel like if it was demonic, it would have just followed the Lutzes wherever they were going.
That could have been too. And also, from what I hear of demonic hauntings, they can also kind of be kind of boring as well. So, you know, especially if they were in a place that maybe, you know, maybe it did follow the Lutzes, but it, you know, since the Lutzes no longer lived in this strong power, you know, just a year earlier, a murder was committed. That's pretty strong energy for a house to contain.
True.
And maybe it was just more powerful or something, not even a demon necessarily. Maybe they're, you know, one of them is just, you know, being followed by something that was more powerful in that house because it had more energy to work with. And also the back of your mind, you know, you're living in a house where people got murdered. So you already have fear, which something could probably feed off of. And then they get out and they move somewhere else that doesn't have that, where you feel a little bit safer and something just doesn't have the energy to feed off of anymore. So well, you don't really notice it as much.
Well, and that's why I think it was just a regular haunting, because it makes sense with the timeline where there was the murders, and which may or may not have been, you know, had anything sort of paranormal stuff involved with them. And then directly after that, you've got the Lutz family moving in. Like you said, that there would be a lot of really horrible, raw, negative shit in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense that the Lutzes had this really horrible, horrible time. And then the people who moved in later maybe wouldn't have. It maybe would have dropped down to just a normal haunting level, because it would have kind of, you know, dissipated a little bit, because it was, you know, it had then been a while since the murders.
True.
So, which is why I'm kind of leaning towards what I think happened is that I do think the house was haunted, but I don't think that it was haunted to the level, obviously, of the books and the movies. That 100%, no. I'm like, no, that is not stuff that happened.
Well,
but
did you watch the Ryan Reynolds one?
I did not. I read the book.
Okay. I didn't read the book. I just watched a bunch of movies. Here, the Ryan Reynolds one, at first, I was kind of like, that was kind of a shit movie. I didn't really like it. And then, like, as some time went past, and, you know, I watched it, I think, about, like, 5 or 6 days ago. And as some time went on, I was, like, thinking about it. It was more psychological horror. Like, psychological supernatural. Like, there wasn't really, there was, like, only, like, one or two times where you kind of saw a shadow of something. Or there was, like, you know, like, an actual ghost involved. Most of it was actually, like, these things, like, you know, there was, like, one scene with, like, a babysitter where, like, the girl, like, who had, like, you know, had, like, you know, came back and, like, scared the babysitter and, like, you know, traumatized her really bad. And then, you know, Ryan Reynolds, who plays George Lutz, you don't see him getting affected by anything, but he's slowly but surely losing his mind in the house. Nothing's happening to him. There's no demons popping out of corner. You're not seeing anything. It's not the Conjuring level shit. It's more something is mentally affecting him. And that, the more I think about it, makes a lot more sense.
It really does.
Than a haunting.
Like you said, like, yeah, moving into a house where a bunch of people were just murdered.
Yeah.
I feel like no matter how strong of a person you are, no matter how much you don't believe in the paranormal, that's gotta mess with you.
And also, it has, you know, to. You know, they go into the fact that the Lutzes, you know, literally put everything they had, you know, financially into this house to, like, you know, start a life together. You know, they were Nancy's, was her name Nancy? I think so. Kathy?
I believe so.
Kathy. Kathy sounds right.
The
you
wife.
Know, they were her kids. And, you know, he was kind of the, you know, an adopted stepdad, and he's trying to make a good life for his new stepkids and start to build a family and, you know, move on and come together. Plus financially, you know, they're kind of like struggling and making it work on top of moving into a house. That's a very stressful situation on top of already negative energy. You know, what if they were just, you know, and the house was haunted? Maybe they were also, you know, George or, you know, some of the kids are maybe a little bit more in tuned than they think they are.
Right.
And they're starting to have nightmares. They're starting to have visions, and after a while, you know, even 28 days, they're having a hard time separating the two.
Right. Yeah. And
what's real and what am I concocting in my head? That doesn't mean that it's not haunted and what they're experiencing isn't valid. It just means, well, they're just two different things.
Well, and yeah, and that's why I really do think that this is just kind of a generic, boring type of haunting, because I feel like that would completely explain why, you know, there wasn't really any sort of ghost stories or anything associated with anything that happened before the Lutzes. there wasn't any sort of ghost stories or anything happening to anyone that lived there afterwards. Because if it is just a boring haunting, it probably is only going to affect people that are under a huge amount of stress, as you would be if you just moved into a house where a bunch of people were murdered and you feel stuck because you don't have the money to leave.
They still had the furniture that the DeFeos used. Like, the kids were sleeping in the bed frames, just the mattresses were changed. And keep in mind, that's where the children were murdered.
Yeah.
I were in their beds. So
I would have gotten new furniture for sure.
That to me could have also played a hand in it. If it was just a boring old haunting, now, you know, you could say, you could make a case, well, now the DeFeos are recently murdered, now trapped inside this house, and a new family moves in, and they're now sleeping in their beds where they were murdered. Wouldn't you be a little pissed off as a ghost? Like,
I would be pretty angry. Although, to be honest, I do feel like if it's haunted, I feel like it was haunted before this.
Yeah.
But so I don't necessarily think it's the DeFeo's haunting the house.
Well, I'm just saying it could add on top of it, and why it was so extreme when the Lutzes were there.
I just feel like maybe it's extreme because they mentally felt like it was extreme. Because, like, if you think about it, like, I'm a pretty level-headed person. I don't usually have, like, I don't have any fear going into haunted places. I don't really deal, you know, I don't really consider the paranormal a threat. I feel like I have a relatively healthy view of death, but I would still be a little weirded out if I was sleeping in a bed where someone died, and also, not only died but was murdered.
And not, you know, they moved in like 13 months after this happened, you know. And this is was a small town. Now it's kind of a larger area, but you know, if we moved in, you know, we live in a small little cul-de-sac. Like, I can't imagine if something tragic here, like, you know, 13 months ago, and then we moved into our house, our neighbors would still, like, these are people who lived next door to the family that was murdered. These are people who knew them. These are people, you know, your parish priest would be like, yeah, I knew them. I was their priest. And the neighbors are like, oh yeah, they used to come over every Sunday for dinner. And, you know, the babysitter is like, oh yeah, I used to also babysit these kids. Like, this is a small town where people knew each other. You move into their house, everyone's going to be asking you, oh, you're the family that just moved into the murder house. Like, you can't escape it. Like, you know, it's going to be talked about, you know, 10 years later, you move into the murder house. People, it's not so fresh in people's memory. We're talking just over a year later.
Yeah.
During the trial, keep in mind, the trial was going on.
That was still happening.
Yeah. So you know, it any wounds that maybe it healed in the year are now being freshly dug. You're seeing it on the news. You're seeing it in the papers. You know, pictures of your house that you just moved into. Like, yeah, that would be a lot.
That would, I think, yeah, that would definitely cause some stress. Because I remember when my husband and I moved into the house we're in now, there was a really gruesome murder a couple doors down from us. Not while we lived here, but a long time before. But like,
also in the 70s, no?
I don't remember the exact date, but I remember that the only reason we knew about it was because, like, I think maybe a year or so after we moved in, there was a story in the paper that the guy who had committed the murder was getting out of jail or prison or whatever. And that's the only reason we knew about it.
I feel like it was he had
been in prison for a long time, which happens when you murder your wife and then chop her up into a bunch of pieces and scatter the pieces around so that she's harder to find. So yeah, you go to prison for a long time, but apparently they fucking let you out. Which is bullshit, because I don't feel that someone who does that should be out of prison ever. But apparently that's a thing that anybody who's house hunting right now, have fun researching that. research your house before you move in.
Right now is a terrible time to do that, because if right now you're buying a house, you don't have time to research. You see a house on Zillow, you make an offer.
You just do it. That like, body could still be in there.
It's a terrible time to be selling, so yeah. To be buying.
Right. But yeah, I do want to talk a little bit though about, you know, the whole prison thing. And this is really interesting. The last time that I had researched this case, the guy, I think his nickname was Butch DeFeo. He was still alive last time I researched this. He just recently died on March 21st this year. And now there was not a whole lot of information, as there's not, because he died in prison and they're not great with actually giving people the information they're supposed to release. But supposedly he died while receiving treatment for an illness. They didn't say what illness. No cause of death has actually been made public from what I could find. So basically, based on everything I've heard about our prison system, probably he died from either incompetence or abuse from the prison. And they aren't wanting to tell anyone and release the cause of death, because like it's a huge case. I really feel like there's probably a lot of people saying, hey, we want this information, and they're not really giving anyone anything. So, and yeah, For anyone who's not in the United States, or maybe those of you who are and just don't know much about our prison system, it's fucking corrupt as fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, even if they do release any information, I'm probably going to assume they're lying.
Oh, yeah.
But I am really interested to see if this causes any sort of an increase in the paranormal activity, either in the original house or in the prison where he passed away.
I was just wondering that. Well, in the prison, it would be kind of hard to tell, to be honest.
And again, if it was happening, they're going to cover it up anyway. But
in the house, I would be very interested.
Yeah, I kind of want to just keep an eye on the real estate sites and see if it suddenly goes
now, to sale. I found that Jason Hughes from Taps, I guess, is starting a show on Discovery Plus. I don't know how recent this was. But I stumbled across it while I was doing research for this, and it's on Discovery Plus. I didn't watch it. I'm a big fan of his though. Mostly I didn't kind of want to watch it because I already have formed a bunch of opinions and I'm kind of sticking to them.
Don't confuse me with your facts. I already decided on my opinion. Well,
I've already had a lot to say for an hour episode, so... I might give it a watch if I can find it. That was another thing, was finding it, because I don't have Discovery Plus.
Yeah, so. I have noticed that with a lot of the documentaries and stuff that I really want to watch about these things, it's very difficult to actually get access to them.
So once I find it, if I'm able to watch it, maybe we can do a Patreon episode where we talk about what he found. But I would be very interested, because I trust him 100%. Like,
I like him. He seems like Taps,
back when Ghost Hunters was a good and big show, and even the other spinoff shows they've had, so many times he would like go into somebody's house and be like, yeah, your house isn't haunted. It just creaks a lot and makes a lot of noises. And like they would go into people's like duct system and like fix their pipes and stuff. Like there was one episode, like they were plumbers originally, and they literally like, you know, fix a couple of the plumbing jobs. They're like, yeah, that noise should stop now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I do really love. I love that team because, yeah, they weren't all about just the shock value of everything and the making it scary.
Yeah.
They were really about debunking things and helping people.
And while still being entertaining, though.
Yeah, and they could still be entertaining, but they were actually going in and saying, nah, that wasn't a ghost. I remember one of my favorite episodes. I don't remember where they were, but people were complaining about this, you know, weird noise, and, you know, they caught it on the recorders and everything. They're like, okay, so that's your air conditioning. Mm-hmm. It makes that sound when it kicks on. That's just what it sounds like. And they kept finding all this mysterious dust and everything. And they're like, yeah, that's from the construction you were doing. Like there's dust settling. That's going to keep happening until you finish these projects.
Yeah.
Because that's just how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I do love, and I think that's just drastically missing from all of the current ghost shows. Like, you need to debunk things. You can't just say everything's a ghost, because everything is not a ghost.
We can do a whole episode on like current ghost shows because I got a lot to say about them. Yeah. But they all got to follow a storyline. I mean, it pisses me off. But
right.
He's the best person, I think, to do a show on Amityville and to investigate it. Because he is probably the only person I would trust. But going back to, like, you know, Ronnie, he just died. Like, you know, for those who don't know the story so well, he claimed to have heard demonic voices. What's your thoughts on that? Because I got several.
So here's the thing. At first, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I'd say that if I killed a bunch of people too. But he seems to... Here's the weird thing. Some of the research I've done has said that he has stuck with his story, like up to the day he died, fairly recently. He was saying that he was hearing those voices. But then I saw other things where he said before the trial, he had been changing his story around. So I'm almost wondering if in prison he stuck to the story when other times he didn't. I'm almost wondering if he wasn't changing his story, if he was being coached to say, here's what you need to say to stay out of prison. Like maybe he was sitting there saying, yeah, there were voices. And then the other, and then the lawyer or whoever is like, look, the insanity defense isn't going to work because of whatever. You need to change your story now.
That could be. But I also think that it's a strong possibility that he honestly believes he was hearing voices and he might have actually been hearing those. Just, you know, his dad apparently had been like doing kind of weird stuff and was like, and the family was already kind of like scared of him before this happened. And they always thought he was weird. And so instead of getting their son help, they treated him like an outcast. And they made fun and ridiculed him to the point where one day he snapped.
That is definitely a possibility.
I've thought of that. It happens a lot,
especially back in that time period. Because in that yeah. time period, you didn't just talk about mental illness.
Yeah.
So it is possible that he just needed help and nobody helped him.
Yeah. That's more what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah,
it's I don't believe him. I believe him. It's just I believe he believes it.
Yeah, I do 100% believe that he was hearing voices. Now, whether or not those voices were paranormal or if they were in his head, I don't know because I never had the chance to speak to him. And even if I had, I'm not a therapist, so
yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily know anyway.
Not the person to help,
right? Yeah. I don't. You know, have any sort of training to be able to help in that way. But yeah, I will say that, you know, there's no way to know, especially again, apologies to everyone that I'm going to go off on our prison system again. If he was having, you know, mental issues, he very likely was not getting good treatment for in prison. And he most likely, in fact, the prison most likely made it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if anybody wants a lot of information on the prison systems and how they are treating people, there's a girl named Jessica Kent who has a really great YouTube channel. Go check her out.
I've watched a few of her videos.
You will never look at our prison system the same way again.
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah, I watched like a couple of her, like the ones that like went like super viral and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's good.
She's amazing. She's just great to listen to in general, but yeah. Definitely check that out, because if you want to understand why every so often I just start going off on tangents about how horrible our system is.
But there's also, I mentioned in our last podcast when we were talking about Ed and Lorraine Warren and their impact on this case. There is like a theory that was like strung along like back when all this was going on that Ed and Lorraine Warren was paid off by Robbie's defense attorney to make up this story with the Lutzes to like solidify in the public eye that it was demonic and he was hearing voices so that he could plead insanity. That seems a lot. to be honest with you. I don't really know if I believe that.
I don't feel like I really believe that, only from the standpoint that I don't think the lawyer would have admitted to it later.
Yeah, why would he admit that? Why would he risk his own license?
Yeah, he's going to risk his license saying that, you know, he paid people off. Like,
just to make a stance on Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, like sure, okay. They're pretty controversial, but I don't feel like anyone's going to come out and put their career on the line and make a statement like that.
Yeah.
Just to discredit them. Like, that's something that if you've done something like that, you're taking that to the grave unless you get caught.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just cut. You're not going to just
even if you get caught, deny.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, it seems odd to me that a lawyer would come out and admit that. Because, yeah, I feel
unless he was paid off.
But even so, and I'm not an expert, but I feel like that would have to be paid off enough to disappear. Because can't you actually be like, go to jail for something like that? Like,
yeah, that's perjury.
Like, I assume. I don't, again, I am not a lawyer. I don't actually know what I'm talking about, but I'm pretty sure it's bad.
Stepmom later and we'll ask her.
I'm pretty sure bad things will happen to you if you admit to paying someone off like that.
The amount of shows that I've watched, like Boston Legal, where stuff like that happened, William Shatner would not approve.
He definitely would not.
So, but I just need an old joke for those of you who don't know that show.
Apologies for all the young people listening that don't know what we're talking about.
If you don't know, I'm pretty sure it's on certain websites. You should go watch it. It's pretty funny. But the lawyer shows that I watched growing up taught me that I don't think you can do that.
I'm very suspicious of that. And also, I feel like at some point in time, if he had not been hearing voices, he would have said that. Because once you're already in prison and you're not getting out, there's no reason to keep lying about it. Like, there was no chance they were letting him out. So it's not like he had a reason to keep
Exactly.
Yeah. But I do want to go through a few of the things because, like I said, you know, there probably was a haunting. But most of this was very likely extremely exaggerated. So I want to go through some of kind of the more extreme things that were claimed in the books and the movies and kind of say what I think maybe had happened for real as opposed to what was said happened. So I want to first go in with the whole swarming flies because that's one of them that I think really gets to people. Was that in the movies or was that just in the book?
In some of them.
Okay. There's
10 movies. So,
okay. That's true. But yeah,
I can't watch them all.
So I have a couple theories of this. Both theories are gross, but neither are paranormal. First of all, dead animal, an event gonna attract flies. And it's not really that uncommon. Animals get in the vents, they die. It's gross, but it happens. And if you're already
especially in the country.
Yeah. And if you're already in a situation where you're stressed out because you're living in a house where a bunch of people were murdered, I could see like maybe they saw, you know, a bunch of flies and then exaggerated like and said things like, oh my God, the entire window was coated in flies when really there was just like a lot of flies. The other thing that if you have like a weak stomach or get creeped out about stuff, you may want to stop listening for a second. But so people had been shot in the head in this house. So it is possible that some of the stuff that, you know, ensues when someone is shot in the head had spattered out and gotten into some sort of crevices and attracted flies. Flies lay eggs. And then suddenly the flies, you know, hatch. And suddenly you've got a bunch of flies in your house because there were bits of dead bodies in there. Like, I mean, not something I would want to happen to anyone, but it could have happened.
Especially, I'm gonna believe that it's more the first theory of just a dead animal because the house did sit vacant for a year.
Right. There was probably dead animals. They got in the vents. They died. That causes there to be flies. I mean, it's not paranormal. Even if the house was haunted, like, that still could happen. I mean, and the thing is, if other mild paranormal things were happening at the same time, it would be not that big of a jump for someone to assume that any sort of weird things like that were also paranormal.
True.
Even if they weren't.
True. Well, as soon as you pick up on paranormal activity, suddenly, you know, everything could potentially becomes paranormal.
Yeah, because you just start wondering.
Your brain starts functioning. Like, oh my God! What the hell?
It was a ghost. Audrey saw a ghost.
Oh, no, it's just Amazon.
Also scary, depending on what I was drinking.
Oh, fuck. Holy shit. I just shat my pants. God.
Oh, my God. That was really funny.
Oh, okay. Moving on. What was I? Well, I need a drink after that.
All right. So
you never know what you're going to get in this podcast.
That's right.
It's just, where were we?
All right, so I think we were done with the flies.
Yeah, so, all right, brains and walls next. All right.
Yeah. So the other thing that is kind of one of the more extreme things that I'm not sure if this happened in the movies or if it was just in the book, but the one of the Lutz daughters, I don't know, I don't remember how many kids they had, but I know they at least had the one daughter, had this imaginary friend named Jody that was supposedly a demonic pig. It was a giant pig with glowing red eyes. Now, here's the thing. We have discussed about imaginary friends on previous episodes. And generally, they're not dangerous. Even if they are actually ghosts or fey beings or something like that, we've pretty much determined they're usually not a problem. And even in the book, which goes into way more detail than any of the movies or anything, there was a lot of stuff that they were afraid of when she was talking about this imaginary friend, but really it was all just normal imaginary friend stuff. Like, it wasn't super dangerous. It wasn't really all that scary, but they were just describing it in a way that made people that are reading the book feel scared, even though nothing was actually happening. So I do kind of feel like, okay, maybe she had an imaginary friend. Maybe it was even a ghost. But I don't feel like it was anything as scary as what was in the movies or books. And also, it has since come out that the part about it being a pig with glowing red eyes was never even true to begin with. Like, she may or may not have had an imaginary friend, but even if she did, and even if she did describe it as having red eyes, that doesn't make it demonic. Stuff can have red eyes that's not demonic.
Also, talking to kids, you know, even ones with imaginary friends, you know, you do get your imaginary friend stories where they're describing things that they don't know about and stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. But also, you have kids. Some kids are just more prone to exaggerate.
Right.
Especially, I would say, in larger families, the youngest is more prone to just kind of start saying shit in order to get attention. And if the hauntings and stuff going on in the house is what currently the family is focused on, guess what they're going to embellish and make up shit about?
Yeah.
To get attention, because, oh, this is the only thing that the family is listening right now and paying attention to right now. They're not paying attention to me. I guess I'll sit there, and they don't understand in their brain how their brain's developed and functioned yet. They don't understand that they're lying. They don't understand that, you know, they're just like,
right.
Yeah, I could have had red eyes.
Cause in their imagination, like, the stuff's actually happening.
Yeah. So
my guess is, yeah, she probably had an imaginary friend, as many kids do, but maybe it was paranormal, maybe it wasn't, but I think either way, it wasn't probably very dangerous or anything like that. Like, I think it was probably just a normal imaginary friend thing. And, you know, their attitude and their reaction caused them to be scared.
Also, if the daughter notices that talking about this in a certain way is getting a reaction out of her parents, she's going to start doing it more.
Probably.
Because she's getting the validation that she's not getting somewhere else. And I'm not calling the Lutzes bad parents. I'm just saying that that's just how children operate.
Yeah, there's a lot of stress. The kids don't necessarily, you know, the kids don't realize that their parents are under a lot of financial stress.
Yeah.
I don't really even know how much the kids knew about what had happened in the house. Like, the parents could have been dealing with all this stress on their own and not telling the kids everything, which is usually what you do. Obviously, if you're a parent, you're not going to be traumatizing your children with all of your stress.
That would be the good move, yeah.
Right.
I would say.
So my guess is the kids probably didn't know a huge amount of.
But as we said before, kids hear shit and kids pick up on shit. And even if you're not telling them something, they know something's up. Yeah. They know you're acting differently. They know there's something going on.
Yeah. So they know, but they don't know what it is. And they don't realize, oh, I probably shouldn't mess with mom and dad right now. They're going through a lot. Like, a kid doesn't know that.
They just start playing My Chemical Romance and Green Day in the room and crying about, you know, it's unfair.
Ah, the 90s.
Hey, and the 2000s.
And the 2000s.
It was still going on when I was in high school.
That's true.
It's just teenage angst or child angst. It's just, you know, we all go through it.
Being a kid and being a teenager is hard and it sucks and you got to find ways to deal with it.
Yep.
All right. So another thing that it was mentioned, and I don't remember if somebody claimed to actually see this or if this is just something that the mother said that she had felt, but there was a claim that she was levitating, like, at night, like while she was sleeping. Now, my guess is that this was just something that she felt, and there's really just a shit ton of causes, both paranormal and not paranormal, that could have causes. Sleep paralysis, which we've talked about on a previous episode, you know. Dizziness or vertigo from any number of undiagnosed medical issues, sleep deprivation, which was most likely happening to them given the stress that they were under, you know, out-of-body experiences, accidental astral projection, hallucinations. Like, there's a ton of things that could cause somebody to believe that they're floating. Like, and most of them are not paranormal. And even the ones that are don't have anything to do with, like, the demons. Level of haunting, like, that normally someone would experience. So my guess is she was probably not levitating. But
I call BS on all that, too, to be honest. The whole levitating thing, it's...
Yeah.
I think I said this in the Ed and Lorraine Warren episode where I was like, if this is a thing that happens, why aren't we hearing about it in today's world?
Right.
Why?
Now that we have video cameras everywhere, no one's levitating. Is
no one else levitating in haunted houses.
Yeah. It
just doesn't, shit don't add up to me.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying that they're lying. This is where, you know, the whole debate is with the Lutzes making this shit up, or was it true? I believe that the Lutzes believe everything that they say.
I believe they believed most of it. I do feel like they probably embellished, exaggerated. But yeah, like this case, I believe she felt like she was levitating.
Well, here's the thing.
But I don't think she was actually.
About exaggerating and lying. It's quite, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I don't know the word for it, but the more you tell a story and the more people who are interested in the story, the more you're going to naturally start little by little exaggerating the story because you've told it so many times and now you're adding a little more just to keep people's attention, just to keep this, and then it becomes national news. Well, now you really need to keep people's attention, so now you're really embellishing, and something that went from sleep paralysis to levitating was just a gradual uphill slope
And I want to point out
unintentionally.
This, yeah.
It's
yeah,
not that they were lying. It's that, you know, I think we are all capable of doing this. I think we all can remember times where we have exaggerated something to keep people listening to a story that we're telling to our friends. You know, you're sitting in a room, all your friends are drunk, you're telling a story, nobody's starting to listen. So you're like, and then I levitated. Everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then you start to believe it and you honestly believe that happened because, you know, oh, well, really what was happening was sleep paralysis. And I know this, but no, it was levitation. Now I'm remembering it correctly, you know? Well,
and at that point in time, I don't even think there were even that many studies on sleep paralysis. So she very well could have just believed she was levitating.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's 100% true. But what you said, that is true, because I was reading a book about that. I don't remember what the book was, but that is something that actually happens fairly commonly to people that have gone through stressful situations where they'll start telling it and then somebody just suggests something or they hear something and then they believe that that's what happened. It's actually in their memory and they believe that. So yeah, I really don't think that they were lying about things, but I do think a lot of things became exaggerated and either they were incorrect about their assumptions. For instance, in this case, if it was sleep paralysis, like she most likely didn't know what sleep paralysis was and thought she was levitating.
You know, so many people today, we live in a world where everything is black and white. It's been that way for a while. Either someone's lying or they're not. Just because something isn't true doesn't mean the person is lying.
That's true. People can be wrong. And people can be wrong even about things that happened to them. Mm-hmm. That is something that happens. It happens a lot.
It's just how the brain protects itself.
Yeah. The human brain is mess up.
Yeah.
All right. So
it knows what's best.
It thinks it does. And it's wrong a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so there's one more thing I wanted to talk about as far as the things they claim happened, and that is the oozing slime from the walls, which makes for great TV and books.
Yes.
But I do not think this happened. And quite frankly, other than hallucinations, I don't have any sort of non-paranormal theories on this. But I can say the people who bought the house afterwards said there was no ooze damage on the walls. So if it was part of an actual haunting, it would have had to have been something that, you know, the spirits or whatever were just causing them to see, not something that was actually physically there. Unless the ghost cleaned it up, in which case I need some ghosts to come clean my house.
Well, shit, come haunt my house.
Right? Yeah, if the ghosts be cleaning
all enough, the ooze you want.
Yeah, come. If ghosts can clean houses, I need me some ghosts.
What are we doing here?
Right,
I would be running a ghost. I wouldn't be having a podcast. I would have a ghost cleaning service because there are currently no regulations on how much I have to pay ghosts.
Right.
So I could have a team of ghosts that I am currently working. Oh, wow. I am a terrible person. Like you just said, like ghost cleaning houses, and I already went into an underground organization where I'm underpaying and understaffing a whole unit of ghosts.
I would just like to make it very clear that our position here at Sisters and Spirits is to pay ghosts a good living wage or dying wage.
They don't have to live. They don't need a living wage. That's the loophole. That's my legal loophole in all this. Oh, wow. I am a shit person.
That is true. Well, I feel like we would have to discuss with the ghosts how they want to be paid, because I feel like alive people money is probably not very useful to them.
No. So what do they want to be paid?
So we would have to determine what we pay them.
They probably want
to
steal shit from people's houses. Like they see a nice clock and they're like, can I have this? And you're like, sure.
Yeah, sure. As long as the rest of the house is clean.
They're like dragons. They're like dragons. They have a little ghost lair.
Hoard. Yeah.
They keep all the stuff that they've hoarded. I don't know. I'm not a ghost, so.
That's true. I don't know. But yeah, so if any ghosts are listening right now, let us know how you would want to be paid if you were going to work for our cleaning service. Because yeah, if they were cleaning it, then yeah, I need ghosts that
it
can clean my house.
It would be the perfect service because, you know, normally like people who have maids, they kind of like leave or they kind of like, you know, like stay out of the maid's way while they're like, you know, working. They like pay them to come while they're at work or whatever. So, you know, they're not in the way. They don't have to. This way you don't, they can be there whenever you don't see them.
Right.
You're not in their way. you can walk right through them and they're still doing fine. So
yeah, it's a fantastic idea. So yeah, if any ghosts want to get in on this, let us know. But
I'm totally not corrupt, I swear.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that Kara pays you what you want to be paid and not take advantage of you. But but yeah, I don't believe that there was ever any slime.
Lawyers.
I don't believe there was actually any slime oozing from the walls.
That's quite a claim. That's quite a claim to make. I don't even know what to say about it other than...
I feel like that's something that is great, that makes for great movies, real cool effects. I would love to be on the special effects team that's making the slime ooze down the wall. It sounds super fun, but I don't think that's something that ever actually happened.
No, I don't think so either.
All right, so do you have any final opinions on Amityville? And am I the only person that every single time I say Amityville, I'm hearing the line from that Eminem song?
So...
is that just me?
Anyways, my final... First of all, I feel bad for the people who live there after this. Like, they had to go through and, like, completely remodel the one side of the house to make it not look like the Amityville
house. Yeah, they had to actually change the exterior of the house, and they also had to change the address.
The address had to be changed.
So people would stop just trying to be at their house.
Please don't bug people who live in haunted houses.
Yes.
You know, a lot of claims have come out, you know, since then, people that they're like, the house isn't haunted. And I'm throwing a statistic out of my ass right now. This is no way backed up factually, but I would say 80% of haunted houses, most people don't fucking know that it's haunted.
Yeah, because
especially if you live in a house with a family, you're like I said before, you're not going to know.
Yeah, as we've mentioned, hauntings are actually fairly boring most of the time. So maybe it is haunted and they just either don't know or don't care.
Just don't care. They're not, like, paying attention to it.
They're like, Matt, a door opens every once in a while. That's not a huge inconvenience to me.
Yeah, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So whether my final consensus on if I believe the Lutzes were making this up, no, I don't think they were. I think they honestly believe most of the claims that they've come out with. I do believe the media and the Warrens got involved and exaggerated things to beyond belief.
Yes.
I think the first movie came out, I believe, in 79. I'm about to fact check this.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that is the truth.
I remember the year because it's your birthday year.
Yes.
So that's how I've, like, kept that fact in my head. But you know, this happened in 74, you know, I think the murders happened in 74, the Lutzes moved in at 75. So, you know, it didn't take too long for a book and a movie to be made about this. Obviously, Hollywood embellishes and sells. It doesn't mean the Lutzes lied. It doesn't mean that they told the truth. It's just things aren't black and white.
Right. I agree.
I think everybody's going to have their opinions on if it was demonic or a haunting. And I think that's the fun of this whole situation. I think that's why it's 2021 and we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is like the epitome of a great ghost story.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't get much better than this for a ghost story. So
there's a reason, like I said, there's like 10 or 12 movies. Like, you type in Amity horror movie and there's like, God, like Ryan Reynolds was in a movie. And it was actually like, I thought it was terrible after watching. I was like, well, it was terrible. But now, like, looking back, I'm like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, I would say, yeah, my opinion, I definitely think the house was haunted, but just regular haunted. I think the stress that the Lutzes were in, given knowing what happened before and their financial situation and everything else, exacerbated their situation.
I think activity could have been amped up at the time because of what happened.
But yeah. I think that there probably were some exaggerations, but yeah, I think that in general, they believed most of what they said. I don't think that anyone's lying about anything, but I also don't think that the things that the media came up with and the Warrens came up with and the people that wrote the books and the movies and all of that, those people made shit up. That stuff didn't happen.
You know, this case launched the Warrens into their notoriety, and they followed with several cases afterwards.
Right.
Of embellishment and exaggeration. Right. So they were kind of known for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have two episodes ranting
about
it.
Yeah. So. If you want to check those out, those are, I think, the previous two episodes to this one. So yeah, we've got plenty on them. So,
and I've got more to say too. So
yeah, there's probably going to be some extra Patreon episodes for those as well at some point. So, but yeah, so there we go. Best haunted house story ever. Yeah, I liked the book. My husband and I both in high school used it as an excuse to read a horror story and pretend it was nonfiction. So when we were told you have to do a nonfiction book report, we're like, it says nonfiction right here on the spine.
So that's super helpful. Even though I'm not a fan of ghost story and horror books.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Here's my thing. I get too into reading my books, and then I can't, and I like to read before I go to bed, and then I can't sleep at night. So
I will
that's
say
why I generally stay away from them.
I didn't find the book all that scary. I found it fun. I didn't really think it was that scary. And realistically, if you already know the story, you're probably not going to be there.
I might find it scary. I might not find it scary, but my brain, she's a little fickle bitch. So I don't know what she's up to. So
that's true. But yeah, so check out the book, check out the movies, all that stuff. It's a fun ghost story, but yeah, probably most of the things you're seeing in the books and the movies didn't actually happen the way that it says.
Yeah. Right?
So thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, check us out over on the socials, Sisters and Spirits Paranormal Podcast on Facebook and Sisters and Spirits Paranormal on Instagram and Patreon. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.